doing the whole 6010. Know what I am?
Hold on. Welcome to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, presented by Geico, Field Yates, and Matthew Berry. And what are you?
I'm in the 06010. I was singing along with a song.
Oh, yeah. Well, you weren't singing, you were dancing.
Well, listen, I was really bobbing semi-rhythmically, if we're being honest. The only time I really dance, Field Yates, is when I'm at a wedding and I've had a few adult beverages.
Right. We learned yesterday, Don Julio, correct?
Honestly, any tequila will work.
Okay.
Will work and work just fine.
One tequila, two tequila, three tequila, right?
I have to think about this. No, I went to one wedding. I was going to say your wedding might have been the last wedding.
Isn't that wild?
I was at. I went to one afterwards. It was a summer of weddings for my wife and I. But yeah. Yours is the one I had the best time at.
How about the? Why, thank you.
That's what I'm told. I don't remember a lot
sources
about your wedding.
Some of my friends still chirp you to me about the wedding.
In a positive manner.
A positive way. Yeah.
Like
I was doing a draft over the weekend with my college buddies.
They were checking in on you. Your buddies are great. Yeah. I love your college buddies. They're great.
Me too. They are. We actually did a power hour, believe it or not, after the draft.
That's
first
nice.
One I've done in probably 10 years. Anyways, hello to Stefania as well. Hello, Stefania. Where are you?
Hello.
She's probably
hello.
In the Chateau de Cone.
I have something to say about Matthew at weddings.
What do you got?
I'm at the Chateau de Cone, of course. But I want to weigh in on Matthew at weddings and just confirm that, yes, a few adult beverages will get him on the dance floor, but no, it's not semi-rhythmically at all.
I was grading on a curve, Stefania. I was trying to be kind.
But I don't want to move off the wedding conversation. Though it is a fun one, we can unpack that at a later time.
Sure.
But we had to bring Stefania. We've got some breaking news, if you will, in the 06010. Major news.
Okay, what do we got?
Daniel Dopp, for those who are unfamiliar, has not shaved since like 2000.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Daniel Dopp shaved his beard, cut off all of his hair, and we have visual evidence of what he now looks like.
Whoa!
There he is. Wow! For those that are watching right now on a variety of streams, there is the Daniel Dopp, the previously unrecognizable Daniel Dopp. And he also seems to...
He looks like a young boy.
Yeah. Seems to...
Looking all right.
He may have also slimmed down by a couple of pounds as well. Daniel Dopp. No, no, no. We kid. It's Daniel Soppy for the day.
It's Thirsty Kyle. So Daniel is out for
Daniel
the day.
Doppy.
Oh, that's not bad. Daniel Doppy. So it's Thirsty Kyle. And so I ask a question for you, Stefania and Field. Do you think Daniel Dopp's absence is excused and planned, or do you think Thirsty Kyle, so desperate to get on the microphone,
wow.
to get on the air, has there been some nefarious action? Has there been some malfeasance, some skullduggery?
I'll defer to Stefania on that one, because everybody knows Kyle's my guy.
I'm going to guess that Daniel Dopp's absence was excused, but like any good athlete, Kyle is stepping in and potentially Wally Pipping. Daniel Dopp.
Oh, Wally Pipping.
Nice pull right there from Stefania with the Wally Pip reference.
Interesting.
We have other news to
get. We do have actually big breaking news.
Okay,
not breaking news necessarily, but something happened last night that's a pretty big story.
Yeah, it's a pretty legitimate story. So last night, via Adam Schefter, we learned that Leonard Fournette, the recently cut Jaguars running back, is now a Buccaneer. That's what I was going to get to. So he stays in Florida, goes about 3 miles southwest to Tampa, where he will now team with Tom Brady and the rest of that potentially very potent offense in Tampa Bay. Matthew, I was thinking about this. And we'll get to Ronald Jones and the rest of the backfield in a moment. So a lot of us agreed, and I think you agree with me, that this assessment, that the best place for Leonard Fournette's fantasy value this year could very well have been Jacksonville, right? It was the place where he had the clearest role to potentially 300 touches, and the touchdowns weren't going to be great, but volume matters, as we saw last year. Is it possible that this might be one of the next best places for him, Tampa Bay? Because, well, there are a lot of cooks in the kitchen in the Bucs backfield. If you go to an offense where they're going to score a lot of points, you may not need 300 touches because you may get double-digit touchdowns as a rusher.
Here's the case for Leonard Fournette.
Okay.
And to be clear, I'm not buying what I'm about to say.
Okay.
But the case for, if you are pro Leonard Fournette, the argument you're making is that he's not going to see nearly as many stacked boxes as he did in Jacksonville, because when you've got Tom Brady, you've got Godwin and Gronk and Evans, like suddenly there's going to be a lot of open running lanes. It's a better offensive line than he had in Jacksonville. And to your point, it's an offense that we expect to score a lot, to be efficient. And so does he get a bunch of sort of bunny touchdowns that he was unlucky with last year, you
right.
know? And so the argument is there. Plus, by the way, while there are a lot of running backs in the running back room at Tampa Bay, none of them have emerged and said, like, this is my job. There's a reason why Tampa Bay felt the need to go out and get Leonard Fournette.
Sure.
So those are all the pro Fournette arguments. I just don't buy any of them.
Okay, yeah, so but I think it's important to lay it out because
yes.
some people will. You're right. He has a chance to score a bunch of touchdowns in a very good offense and potentially lead them in carries and face much more favorable looks. But the arguments against Matthew are a little bit more compelling. But just to before we get to the arguments yeah. against, you've got him at 24 for your rank. Has that been updated or is that reflected?
Yeah, that is updated.
Okay.
I'm the highest among us. Like
really?
You have
yeah.
Right, you have him at 28. Secret Squirrel has him at 29. Tristan has him at 16. Where
yeah.
does Mike Clay have him?
On it.
Daniel Doppie will get to that in just a moment. But in
right.
the meantime, we have... So I am at 28. You're right, Matthew. And here's the... And so I suppose that my ranking is making the case against. So let's dive
right.
into
Both
the case
Both of us have
against.
Him as RB3s. We're a right. couple spots apart. Both of them have...
Mike Clay, 33rd.
33rd.
Wow.
So here's the case against.
Mike, now I'm gonna have to now I have to go back and defend my Leonard Fournette. I'm as an RB3.
Okay.
I'm amazed that I'm the highest on him.
But
yeah,
so let's
because I'm down on him.
But the case against is pretty I think should be intuitive for people. Is that all right, so you no longer are tied to him being the fourth overall pick that you feel like there's some sort of investment in, right? The deal, according to Adam Schefter, is worth the maximum of $3.5 million. That is not the same thing as making a guy a fourth overall pick. Plus
right.
it was not long that Bruce Arians was espousing the virtues of Ronald Jones as the guy in the Bucs' backfield. They also recently signed LeSean McCoy, and reportedly LeSean McCoy is still part of their plans in Tampa Bay. Moreover, they used a third-round pick on Keyshawn Vaughn, and I know that we sort of doused some of the excitement around him earlier in this preseason, but still, Dari Ogunbowale also there. I don't know who is the odd man out, but roster construction wise, Matthew, it feels like one of those guys won't stick. Five running backs, maybe six that could make the roster in Tampa Bay. Leonard Fournette is not guaranteed to be a workhorse by any stretch.
And that's the issue. He needs volume to be effective. For his career, he's averaging under 4 yards per carry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can argue some of that is the team that he was on and everything like that and a lot of stacked boxes. But the fact is that he's always been a volume guy. Last year, he got insane volume in the passing downs. Does he get that? Right. Ultimately, that's going to be up to Tom Brady. Right. Does Tom Brady like him and trust him in pass protection? Does Tom Brady want him out there on third downs? To your point, you've got Ogunbowale, you've got Ronald Jones, you've got LeSean McCoy, you've got the two rookies, Raymond Calais and obviously Keyshawn Vaughn. So you've got a lot of guys there. And so I don't think he gets the insane passing down volume that he has. I'm not convinced he gets the rushing volume that he has. I mean, think about Tom Brady. And again, he's not necessarily calling the plays, but obviously Brady's going to have a significant say in what they do offensively. Tom Brady in New England, for years, they've had different running backs. They've always gone by running back by committee. So you wonder if Tom is saying to Bruce Arians, to Byron Leftwich, saying like, hey, guys, let's get some different looks in here because – a look with Leonard Fournette's very different than a look with Dari Ogunbowale, right?
Yeah,
I mean, right. So maybe there's some mixing and matching going on there. This is a guy that has missed 12 games in 3 years, right? So that's not out of the woods. You don't know that he's necessarily playing all 16 games. And I thought this was interesting. Bruce Arians has had a running back score more than 180 points only twice in his NFL career, and both those were peak David Johnson. And I think we can all agree that Leonard Fournette, even in a best-case scenario, isn't going to be peak number one running back in fantasy David Johnson the way he was those couple years in Arizona.
Yeah, I always would like to sort of see year by year who he had at his disposal and whether that's more attributable to it than the coach himself.
He had some Andre Ellington in there, right?
Yeah, right. I think it was
100%. He didn't have great talent, but you know,
no, I get it. So I think what we probably can all agree on is that we'll have a much better evaluation of what kind of player Leonard Fournette is now because the circumstances are set up for him to, on a per-play basis, be pretty effective. We'll get into this more, and we'll talk about this plenty more.
But one last thing I want to say here, because I think this is important, right, in terms of how do you draft Leonard Fournette? And it's basically, for me, so, again, I can't believe I'm at 24. I'm sort of, you know, I have him as a running back 3 because I think he's in that range of, like, guys that could be productive. I'm just after, like, Jonathan Taylor. where I have him in the ranks. Like, I'd rather the upside of Jonathan Taylor. But there is certainly a scenario in which Fournette has a good fantasy season. And for me, what I feel like is, in terms of how I'm approaching drafts, for people that are approaching drafts this weekend, I'd rather go running back early. And where Fournette, I think, is likely to go is sort of in that 3 to 5 round range, where, you know what I mean? Like, I think he's
third through fifth round.
Yeah.
I think it'll be later than that.
He might be. He might be, but there's going to be at least one or two people in your league that believes. Because, I mean, listen, Tristan has him at 16. Yeah. And I've seen some other people on fantasy Twitter saying, like, oh, this is going to be amazing. Oh, my, you know, he's gonna crush. So I think there'll be some range there. But I guess from my point, what I was going to say is when I'm constructing my roster, I'm going running back early because those middle rounds are where the
get gnarly.
Like the in the fifth round, like just say the fifth round. In the fifth round, I'd much rather the DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin, Calvin Ridley types than Leonard Fournette. Mm. I would rather have the more solid running backs early, and where Fournette's gonna go, I'd rather go wide receiver there.
Okay.
Or Dak Prescott, somebody like that, than necessarily, you know, the Fournette, Gurley, you know, Le'Veon Bell range is whereas you know, and he's probably going to go after that. He's probably even not even going to be as high as Gurley or Bell.
More on Leonard Fournette. Much more on Leonard Fournette coming up. Obviously, we'll have more analysis once he has a chance to actually put a Buccaneers uniform on. But time now for some news or noise.
We were I have a sheet here that says Kyle has a question.
We kind of sort of already.
Is that the question we did?
All right, we can ask it.
It's all good.
We had a longer conversation than intended.
It's all good. I drafted Armstead and Fournette and Fishbowl a month ago. Do I have more value on my roster now than I did then? Would be my question.
Yeah.
You think so?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Because at best, only one of them was going to contribute for you, and now you have at best two of them. So
I'll take it.
Yes, more value.
That's all.
We are without drops today.
I don't think that was a question. I think that was just Kyle wanted to brag about his Fishbowl team.
Mm, you were down
so thirsty.
Mm, I don't know about
that. So thirsty. Like, I'm here. I'm like, oh, well, Kyle has a question on my sheet. Maybe it's good. Gilbert's going to blow you off. And I'm like, let's see if this is worth anything.
Last shot.
All right, let's move on to news or noise. That's no drop. So, Kyle, we're going to pass it over to you to play Daniel Doppy for news or noise.
Dwayne Haskins was announced the starter in Washington. Is this news or noise?
This is noise for me, Matthew. I'll give you the baton in just a second here. It's noise for me. I'm sorry. I just don't see. I'm not particularly inspired by any player on the Washington offense other than Terry McLaurin. And the splits were fine last year.
Cut to Dontrell Inman. Wow, what did I do?
Right.
Yields.
So the splits were fine last year. They were actually encouraging last year when he and Dwayne Haskins played together.
Yeah.
But it's noise because this is what I expected, and my value with Terry McLaurin all preseason has been operating under the idea that Dwayne Haskins win this job.
I agree with you. Yeah. Fantasy-wise, it's noise. Listen, I like Haskins. I'm not ready to throw in the towel the way so many people are. You know, I think he will have a better season this year. I think they are going to be much more of a pass-happy offense than people necessarily expect. But to your point, he doesn't really add anything with his legs. They don't have a lot of weapons there. He is nothing more than a deep two-quarterback league, super flex league, you know, kind of option.
Rookie left tackle, banged up offensive line already. You know, I hope the best. I love Ron Rivera.
Correct.
But it's going to be a long year in D.C.
About that. So we agree it is noise.
Anthony Lynn said yesterday that Tyrod Taylor is their week one starter and is their starter moving forward until someone steps up and takes the position. Is this news or noise?
I'm going to take this one again. It's noise for me because, again, I expected him to be named the starter. The news will come when he gets benched at some point this season because I do believe they'll eventually turn the keys over to Justin Herbert. And, the analysis we've been offering all preseason about Keenan Allen and the concerns about, you know, regression in terms of overall volume and the impact of Tyrod Taylor on the offense has been with Tyrod Taylor as a quarterback in mind. So things could change if after 8 games they decide to hand the keys off to Justin Herbert. But for now, this is noise for me because, again, this was expected.
I think it's news, and I'll tell you why. I agree with you on the assessment that we expect him to be the week one starter.
Okay.
That's not the news part. But the news part to me is not only Anthony Lynn saying like he's the guy until he isn't, quote unquote, but I was listening to a recent episode of the Adam Schefter podcast, friend Adam Schefter. And so Schefty says his expectation is that Tyrod Taylor is going to be the quarterback the entire year or the majority of the year.
Mm.
And I've seen some other people, some other knowledgeable people that, you know, per sources. And so my expectation here again, and so we'll see if, you know, if things go south for the Chargers and they just got to throw Herbert in there. But if you knew for a fact Tyrod Taylor was the starting quarterback all 16 games,
mm-hmm.
like if say they didn't draft Herbert, mm-hmm. right, or whatever, if something happened to him, like he would move up your draft boards, like because he's going to be a good fantasy quarterback because of what he does with his legs. He's always been, he was a top 12 fantasy quarterback in Buffalo for the 3 years he was the starter in Buffalo. He was a top 12 fantasy quarterback on a points per game basis over those three seasons when Anthony Lynn was, you know, a coach there in Buffalo.
Mm.
And my expectation here is that he has more weapons in Los Angeles than he did in Buffalo. So I think he would be a very viable QB. He's going to be a viable QB2 as long as he has that job. And the fact that he might have that job a lot longer than expectations is interesting to me.
Okay. Fair enough. No one loves Shefty more than I do. And obviously I don't care, but I don't,
I think Mrs. Shefty does.
That's probably
willing to put that to the test.
And,
let's get Mrs. Shefty in here.
And Dylan Shefter's got a great podcast. 100%.
Let's get Dylan. Let's get Mrs. Shefty and let's get you. And we have Adam in the middle. We'll do it like family court.
Right.
And we'll just see where Adam goes. We'll see who loves, we'll do a battle of death to see who loves Shefty more.
But what I was going to say is that like, we've heard coaches themselves, we've heard general managers say, this is our quarterback for the year with a rookie waiting in the wings. Blake Bortles was, you know, one of the more notable recent examples. And then, you know what happens? The starter gets benched and Blake Bortles, like 3 games into the season or 0 games into the season or right away, right? I mean, Baker Mayfield. This happened to Tyrod Taylor 3 years ago in Cleveland, 2 years ago. So my point is merely that I still personally believe there is a chance that the Chargers could change their decision. And as a result of that, Justin Herbert does start 8 or 10 games this year.
I agree with you. There's 1,000% chance, obviously, that happens. It's obviously a very good chance. You don't use a first round draft pick and not start him. I mean, it happened last year with Eli Manning's going to be our guy. 4 games in, here comes Daniel Jones. He's a legend. He's beloved in that city. So 100%, it's obviously within the realm of possibilities. And I'm with you on the coach speak piece of it. What was interesting to me is I feel like conventional wisdom is that everyone thinks that. So one of the reasons why Taylor is going so late in drafts is everyone expects him to lose the job at some point.
Mm.
When Schefter said it to me, he didn't say it to me, when Schefter says it on the podcast, that gives me pause because the coach speak is the coach speak. But Adam talks to all these guys without getting into who he knows and who his sources are. Adam talks to every general manager, every head coach, every assistant coach, every personnel guy, like his list of contacts is insane. And so I don't think Adam throws that out just willy-nilly. And I don't think he gets coach speak when he's talking to guys, you know, on the record. Okay. You tell me. Like, I mean,
no, I think all I'm saying is that no general manager or head coach owes it to a player to say specifically, you are the starter for X number of games this year. That's not how the business works. If the Chargers go 0-5 to begin the season, or if they're 2-5 through the first 7 games, you better believe that there's going to be a large chant for Justin Herbert to take over. That is all I'm saying. It doesn't matter if it was Tom Telesco, Anthony Lynn, or
whatever.
You name it. Woj reporting it.
Right.
Like I always believe that rookie quarterbacks that were drafted in the first round are going to eventually start during the rookie season, unless you're Jordan Love.
I agree with all that. The last thing I'll say though is that risk is baked into his ADP. He's mostly going undrafted in ESPN leagues. And so if you get more of a, especially by the way, you're looking at a year where they didn't have rookie mini camps, they didn't have OTAs, you know, accelerated start of the season. Does it take him longer to break the starting lineup in, and is Taylor more of a worthy flyer given the fact that maybe we think it's longer before he gets in there as a starter?
Yeah. So anyways, we belabor this point. Let's move along. Kyle, what else you got for us?
31-year-old Mo Sanu was released by the Patriots yesterday. News or noise on that one?
You first, Matthew.
I think that's noise. I don't think he factored into any fantasy plans this year. To me, the most memorable part of Mohamed Sanu's Patriots career is when he helped me win a board bet against Field. Because Field was in on Sanu early on.
My IFB just went out. sorry. You say
moving
on?
Did you repeat that? Yeah, I can repeat it because we had a board bet about Mo Sanu.
Right,
early Matt, on in his
Matt, our
career.
Producer's telling me something about Brian Hill.
Yeah.
He wants,
oh, you want
Brian
move
Hill?
On?
Oh, you want to go to Brian Hill?
You want to move on?
Oh, okay.
I'll give one piece of thing that's sort of interesting about Mohamed Sanu, Field, and you can put on your NFL insider hat and comment here, is that one of the places he's been rumored to go, which would certainly be interesting, is DC. Washington.
Yeah. Yeah, it becomes news if he goes somewhere else. There was an old expression in football. I believe Bill Parcells is one of the people that maybe championed this phrase: "Is old and slow, you got to go." Old and slow, you got to go for Mohamed Sanu and the Patriots. Boy. Listen, they traded the second round pick for him. It didn't work out nearly as planned. They move on, and
Can I ask a question just of our director Lisa? Because when you said old and slow, you got to go, she took a close up of me. I don't know what's going on there. Yeah. I mean, it's a little on the nose, Lisa. I'm just saying. I get it. I hear you. I'm definitely old. I'm definitely slow. Like,
but you were never fast.
Let me know if I should show up to work.
The thing
tomorrow.
Is that, like, you never went from fast to slow. So, like, you're consistently slow. So you
fair.
Can stay.
All right, moving along here. Lisa was giving me a hint there.
No hints dropped, just facts.
But he would actually have more fantasy value in Washington, I believe.
Yeah.
Because there's that number two wide receiver role opposite Terry McLaurin is open. Who's going to be that pass catcher? Is it Gandy Golden? Is it going to be Steven Sims? Is it going to be Dontrell Inman?
I was going to say, Panda, Dontrell Inman for the second time
right.
in the show.
Well, like,
what am I
going
to do to prove my
Dontrell
worth?
Dontrell Inman's got a shot.
Okay. That tells you everything you need to know.
Anyway, I know, but that's my point. If Mosinu were named the starter, you'd suddenly be like, all right, pass deeper league. Maybe that's interesting.
Deeper league value potentially. All right.
Anyway.
Every year, Matthew Berry writes a column on ESPN.com. It's 10 lists of 10. And obviously, it's very intuitive what that means. There are 10 separate lists. They have 10 items for each list. We're going to go through these lists, Matthew, and we're going to give you one of your highlights from these lists, and I'm going to add my own. The first one we're going to discuss is preseason buzz. So this is something you've heard during the preseason that you are buying.
That I'm buying. There's all sorts of buzz out there. And so what's a preseason narrative that I am buying?
Yep.
That's
so
one
let's
of the
start
lists.
With preseason buzz, and what is yours?
And you can, again, it's 10 lists of 10, so there's 10 nuggets each in each list. And so check it out on ESPN.com. Of course,
okay.
I'm a company man. Done or not, done or not. But the preseason buzz I'm buying is that Le'Veon has lost a step and that there is real tension between him and Adam Gase, and that this is going to be more of a committee than you would think for a guy that was signed to as much money as Le'Veon Bell was 2 seasons ago.
So
or whatever, I guess, a season ago.
Yeah. On Monday, Mike and I had a podcast, and we talked about Le'Veon, and I was expressing my concerns. I made him my bust candidate for running backs when we had our updated list. I'm with you, Matthew. This is a player who the skill set has declined recently in terms of explosiveness, and as I stated on Monday, just to reiterate, he's going to start the season as a starter. But if things go south quickly for the Jets, you think Adam Gase is going to be motivated to keep Le'Veon Bell in the lineup, or might he go with a guy we know he loves in Frank Gore, or LaMichael Perine when he is healthy? He's their fourth round pick out of Florida. I'm nervous about Le'Veon Bell.
I'm in this crazy deep dynasty league, 33 man rosters, and I just managed to grab. We had our first waiver system of first waiver run of the season last week, and I spent a little bit of money on both Frank Gore and LaMichael Perine, both of whom Perine wasn't drafted in the rookie draft, and Gore was just out there. It's a dynasty league, of course.
Yep.
And because I think there's a chance, first off, in that league, everyone that has a pulse has value.
Right.
But also because my expectation here is that, that those guys have a potential at having a significant role.
We discussed this player yesterday. The preseason buzz that I'm buying is that J.K. Dobbins is ready to roll in Baltimore. Such a good player. As I said yesterday, you know, it was mind-blowing that he made it as far as he did in the draft. The Ravens were the best running team, I think, in NFL history in terms of total rushing yards last season. They may not be quite as dominant this year, just hard to repeat history in back-to-back seasons, but there's going to be plenty of opportunities for J.K. Dobbins. Mark Ingram means a lot to that Ravens franchise. He's still going to have a role, but if by the end of the season or the middle of the season, we're saying like J.K. Dobbins' future in Baltimore is a top 5 to 8 fantasy running back on an annual basis, nobody will be surprised. Who is your favorite?
All in. I have an unhealthy amount of J.K. Dobbins this year in all
no
my
such thing.
Leagues.
And no such thing.
In the dynasty league that you and I and Thirsty Kyle and Secret Squirrel and Mike Clay and Stefania that we're all in, J.K. Dobbins was my first round pick this year in dynasty. And like I could use a quarterback, and I passed up on Tua for J.K. Dobbins because that's how highly I think of him.
Favorite upside running back. Let's go to the next list, Matthew. Who is your favorite upside running back? And obviously there are a lot of players on this list, but name one that comes to mind for you.
Yeah, I mean, so I have 10 upside running backs there, and one of the guys that I listed was Antonio Gibson, who I absolutely love. And listen, Adrian Peterson's going to start the year as kind of their lead back. After the release of Darius Geis, I think there was a lot of hype on Gibson. It seems to have died down, and I think it should still be there. The fact is that Washington is not going to your point, it's going to be a long year in D.C., and they don't have a lot of weapons on offense. They're going to have to manufacture things. They're going to have to manufacture offense and get creative. And Antonio Gibson is a player that allows them to do that. They're going to use him in the passing game. They're going to use him in the run game. He has taken reps and spent time in practice with both camps, with both the running back room and the wide receiver room. I just think he's a very dynamic player that probably just, you know, didn't go to a big college. There's not a lot of college tape on him, but everything I'm hearing out of Washington is that he is the real deal, and they're very excited about him.
Yeah, so you don't necessarily have to play for a great offense to be great in fantasy football. I do have some reservations, though, that this offense is just inefficient enough that the upside is more limited in my mind than it is in your mind. You may feel that way about the player that I'm going to mention as one of my upside running backs, but before we get into him, I believe Stefania is on the ready to tell us a little bit more about what we learned earlier today from the incomparable Mike Reese about Patriots running back Damian Harris.
Yes, Mike Reese, of course, your best source for Patriots information. And he tells us that Damian Harris had to have surgery on his hand. He was not in practice earlier this week, and it turns out it's a pinky finger injury that required surgery. And now very much in jeopardy of missing week one and potentially longer than that. If you look at the running back situation in New England, they have Lamar Miller, but he's coming off ACL surgery. He was activated off the PUP list, but there's still a ways to go from being activated to being ready to play in four quarters of a game when you're coming off an ACL surgery. So with Sony Michel being off the PUP list now and practicing for over a week, it sounds like a little more work will go to him early. Of course, they have plenty of depth there as well to support him.
All right, Stefania, thank you for that. And while it seems ridiculous to believe that a player who's going to be one of maybe four or five running backs that has a role in New England and having upside, because there's still James White and there's Rex Burkhead and the players that Stefania mentioned and Michelle and Miller, I'm still going with Damian Harris. You know why, Matthew?
Why is that?
Because the price is so ridiculously low, yeah, right? You're going to be getting him either in the first week of waiver wires, especially if he does not play in week one, or in the last round of your draft. He was one of the stars of Patriots training camp, a very talented player who just needs the opportunities. My biggest concern with Damian Harris is he's wearing number 37, and I wonder if 37 is a jersey number that has the requisite swag to be a dominant running back.
Interesting, the number 37 jersey number concern. My concern is Sony Michel, James White, Lamar Miller, Rex Burkhead, Cam Newton.
Right.
It's just like there's like one of those guys isn't going to make the team.
They'll make the team. Oh, yeah.
So you're just,
I'd be very surprised if one of them didn't make the team.
Wow. So, I mean, again, you're looking at a crowded running back room on a team that has notoriously been running back by committee, and that was with Tom Brady, who isn't nearly the goal line threat that Cam Newton is, despite the fact that Tom always would sneak in for like two or three a year. I mean, like, Cam Newton is the greatest goal line rushing quarterback in NFL history.
Yeah, so you're totally right. My case is that, like, maybe it's a 10 to 20% chance, but if there's a 10 to 20% chance that this is an excellent running offense and Damian Harris emerges as the guy, that is great value. That's the upside here. All right.
That's 100% fair.
Well, let's move along to your next list. But before we do that, first, we pass it back over to Stefania.
Field, did you know that when it comes to scoring great hires for your business, you may be up against some obstacles, like lots of applicants, but difficulty finding the right ones for your job, or finding time to hire while running your business, plus trying to ensure workplace safety? That's why you need ZipRecruiter on your team. No matter the industry, healthcare to manufacturing to business services, ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. First, when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites. Then, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology hustles for you to find people with the right experience for your job and invites them to apply. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So add ZipRecruiter to your roster to help you win the hiring game. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Shell knows that between every tee-up, layup, and batter-up that you can't wait to catch up with your favorite podcast. So come to Shell and get the three things done at once. First, fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Then save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And finally, snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Time to wrap it up. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. In engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline, see full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com. All right, Matthew, your third list in your 10 lists of 10 is your list of chicken players. And for those that missed the show yesterday, explain to us what the chicken player list really is.
Well, it's inspired by Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh.
Correct.
A couple years ago said, instructed his players not to eat chicken, said that he doesn't eat chicken because it's a nervous bird.
Mm.
He thinks chicken is a nervous bird. He doesn't like to get the innards in you, the nervous innards in you.
I see it differently, but I digress.
You don't think that's what Jim Harbaugh said?
Or no, it's what he said. I have such a deep affinity for chicken. I like it in nuggets. Chicken. I like it in wings. I like it. I like thighs. I like breasts. I like whole chickens, roasted chickens.
Yeah.
You name it, I'm in.
Yeah, 100%. I'm with you too.
Brined chicken?
Huh? Brined chicken?
Yeah, like when you brine it.
Yeah, I've brined some, I
chicken
guess.
Chicken tacos?
Yeah, I'm, yeah.
Chicken sausage?
Chicken yeah. parm?
Chicken parm?
Chicken parm, yeah. Chicken parm. Anyway, chicken salad, chicken Caesar salad.
Yeah, totally.
On that. Yeah.
All the way.
I'm a big chicken fan, but my chicken players, so these are guys that they aren't necessarily on the, it's not a hate list. You know, these are all talented players. I think they're all ranked appropriately, but they make me a little nervous. And what I have found is that when I come to that point in the draft where I should take them, I am generally taking somebody that is ranked similarly, that is a similar level player, because there's just something about that this just makes me a little bit nervous. You know, like, again, if Jim Harbaugh says chickens are a nervous bird, these are players that just make me a little bit nervous, right? And so this is one that I could be dead wrong on.
Yeah.
This is to me one of the toughest guys to rank this year. But for me, it's James Conner.
Okay.
So look, James Conner has such a wide range of outcomes, Field.
Yeah.
He could be the guy that he was 2 years ago, where he was an easy RB1. He was just a fantasy superstar. Or he could be the guy that he was last year that couldn't get healthy once again, that left games early, you know, consistently, that that was ineffective and inefficient, and couldn't convert. For me, James Conner just makes me nervous, right? I mean, they've got Jalen Samuels, and especially they've got Benny Snell, and I like Anthony McFarland, the rookie they drafted. There's a lot of guys there that potentially could take some work away from Conner. I think it's going to be a pass-first offense with Big Ben there, and I know the argument is, well, Conner was great 2 years ago, but look, he's never played all 16 games in a season. Like, mm-hmm. There's no question. I'm not questioning the man's toughness. He is as tough as they come, but injuries have been a part of his NFL career, and so I just...
Well, to that point,
it just makes me a little nervous.
Well, let's get Stefania's insight on the injuries, because Stefania, as Matthew noted, he has dealt with some time missed in the past three seasons. What's his outlook for this year?
Well, I think they're hoping that he can get through all 16 games. But if you look, and Matthew has a good point here, he's missed time in all three seasons. And the first 2 years, it was at the end of the season. So you tend to think, okay, guys, break down a little bit. He had an MCL injury in year 2017 that ended his campaign early. In 2018, it was an ankle injury that cost him 3 games. But last year, he got injured mid-season, week 8, I believe. He had a shoulder injury, an AC sprain. And if you look at his style of play, very much a physical guy, seeks out contact, leads with his shoulder. That type of injury is particularly problematic for playing running back and having that style of play. And what we saw, and to Matthew's point, is that he tried to return in week 11, but he only lasted 13 snaps. Then he was out again for 3 weeks, came back, and then was out again at the end of the year with a quad strain. So he really needed the off season for his shoulder to get better. It's just a function of the type of injury that he had. But when you string it together, it does make you a little bit concerned about whether he can, in fact, get through all 16 games.
All right, so there's the injury insight on James Conner. I'm going to give you my offering.
Here, just quickly, you in or out on James Conner?
I'm in. Actually, I believe it. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I heard that felt descriptive more than predictive, right? Like, sure. Here are the things he's dealt with, but I don't know. I am not as concerned. I think a contract year is going to favor James Conner very nicely this upcoming season. My chicken player, and I think he may be on.
Can I ask one quick question about that?
Sure.
No, just contract year, right? So Is there a concern from you, NFL insider Field Yates? Is there a concern from you? And I'm being serious here.
That he protects himself?
Yeah.
No.
That, you know, like,
because he can't protect himself. He plays running back.
But just like you think about like Dalvin Cook, or you think about some of these, or Le'Veon Bell, that just basically says like that. Just basically, if he gets nicked up a little bit, he's just thinking here, like, I'm trying to get a huge payday. Like, you know, I'm not going to play through this hammy. I'm not going to push through this. So that's what I'm asking.
Dalvin Cook has a huge resume. He's been one of the best running backs in football. James Conner's had one good season. He can't say like, you know what? If I only play six games this year, teams are really going to be willing to invest $10 million. He needs a full season of dominance to get a $10 million per year contract. My chicken player may be on your list, Matthew. It's Stephon Diggs for the Buffalo Bills. Mm. He's better than the 17th best wide receiver in football in terms of ability. I think this is pretty obvious, right? It's an offense that the quarterback, Josh Allen, there's going to be some accuracy concerns. He improved last year, but we still want to see it for a full season be above 60, 65%, somewhere around that clip. Stephon Diggs has had it's an interesting career arc, right? He was first a vertical threat, then he had a season with 1,000 yards on 100 catches, and then he was back to being a vertical threat last year. So the fit makes sense in some ways. Big, strong-arm quarterback. But a big, strong-arm quarterback with a vertical wide receiver also requires excellent deep ball accuracy. So I'll be interested to see just how well these two mesh right away in Buffalo.
I actually think he could be a value this year. He didn't make the chicken list. I understand that I don't have a lot of digs this year. There are wide receivers going in his range that I like a little bit more. But look, I mean, Josh Allen likes to chuck it, and so he has improved his accuracy in his NFL career. It's been a challenge for him, but like, you don't make the trade for Stephon Diggs and not feed him a lot of targets. So I think I think he's going to lead that team in targets, and I think they're going to take a couple of deep shots to him every single game. And I think, you know, if Allen has even slightly improved in his accuracy, like, he's got a cannon for an arm, and Stephon Diggs is one of the best deep ball receivers in the NFL.
I know. The problem is just that, like, there's evidence so far that cannon of an arm has not been an accurate cannon down the field. So that's why I'm a little bit chicken.
Although John Brown was a fantasy asset last year, and we both agree Stephon Diggs is better than John Brown.
Right, but I don't think that there's the same level of John Brown has been a vertical threat throughout his career. I think that this is... Like, I think, to your point, the Bills may want to vertically stretch the field 2 to 3 times a game with Stephon Diggs, which did some last year with John Brown. But I personally believe that there are concerns for me down the field. That's my he's my chicken player. He's not your chicken.
That's fair. Exactly right.
What if? And your what if this year is, what if Seattle lets Russ cook?
Yeah, just a bunch of, like, I think there's conventional wisdom that thinks this is going to happen.
Okay.
And it's more likely than not that it doesn't happen. Or that it does happen that way. Like, one of the whiffs is, what if the Chargers have Tyrod Taylor as their starting quarterback the entire year? We talked about it earlier in the show, right? And so conventional wisdom is that Herbert's going to take over at some point. I think conventional wisdom is that Seahawks offense looks like it always has, which is run heavy. But what if Seattle lets Russ cook? I mean, he's currently going in the late fifth round. This is a guy who's never finished worse than quarterback 11 in his NFL career. He's a guy that has over 30 passing touchdowns each of the last three seasons. He's the only current quarterback to be able to say that. So what if, finally, they open it up and they let Russ cook?
Yeah.
He could be a massive value this year.
It's interesting. It's been discussed a lot. Seahawks Twitter is great. They're very ardent and just passionate about the franchise. Yeah. But the Seahawks counter is probably like, we keep winning, doing what we have done, right? And they feel like they've had a lot of success. So I don't know exactly what letting Russ cook really means, right? Like, how many more passing attempts does he need? How many more design runs does he need? But it'll be interesting to see if the offense takes a different shape at all.
Just to answer your question about what it looks like, what it means is that they're a pass-heavy offense. I mean, they've been one of the worst,
right,
in terms of the lowest pass percentage teams in the NFL, just Russell Wilson's insanely efficient.
Right. So if you give him a top 10 team in terms of passing percentage, that will be letting Russ cook. Yeah, interesting. My what if, and we've been talking about this player since March, and we've been sort of banking on the possibility that he could miss time. What if Todd Gurley doesn't miss time? Right? Like, yeah. And I get it. Like, I know he's had a long injury history. I'm aware of everything that Todd Gurley has gone through. Right? But, like, what if he just grinds it out? What if he plays? What if he never suffers a setback? And what if Todd Gurley plays 16 games? If he plays 16 games, is he, like, is the floor's got to be what? Like, 20th best running back in fantasy this year? If he plays 16 games?
I would think the floor's higher. If he plays all 16 games, he's going to get a massive workload. I think his floor is running back 14, running back 15 in somewhere. And I think there's a chance that he's in the top 10. There's a very good chance that he's in the top 10.
Did he miss any games last year? Kyle's able to pull that quickly?
He missed one.
He missed. So, like, as much as we're talking about how, like, he's got all these things he's dealing with, the Rams managed him last year and he played 15 games and he had 12 touchdowns.
Yes, he did. You know, and it was a bad offensive line in L.A. I think it'll be a better one in Atlanta. They didn't use him in the passing game at all last year, although they had previously used him the previous two seasons when he was fantasy royalty. So we know that's in his skill set. Todd Gurley is a good pass-catching running back, and we've seen Matt Ryan do that a lot with Devontae Freeman last year in the first, I want to say the first 10 games, before Devontae Freeman was hurt.
Right.
The first, whether it's first 8 games, first 10 games, whatever it is, I know they were top 10 in running back targets. The Falcons were thirsty. Kyle, feel free to correct me if I got any of that wrong. But I think that's really interesting. The other thing is, just as you mentioned with James Conner, Todd Gurley's on a one-year deal, right? I mean, so he's on a one-year prove it, you're still an elite running back deal. So
one more bite at the apple.
One more bite at the apple. So sure. I think, Todd Gurley is certainly motivated to play through whatever. We're not saying players, purposely get injured or don't, but some players can play through more than others, and I think maybe Gurley plays through more this year than some other of his contemporaries.
Next list here from you, Matthew, is the unsexy player, and who is your unsexy player for 2020?
Yeah, you know what? There's so many players out there that get so much hype and buzz. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. When you draft Clyde Edwards-Helaire, people are gonna go, ooh, I wanted him, right? Yeah. And then there's these unsexy players that when you draft, the people are just like, whatever. Okay, fine. No one's going to be like that and very upsetting. But these are players that I think are undervalued at their ADP and that I think will help you win your fantasy league. And my unsexy player that I'm picking from the list is David Johnson.
We've
talked about. Again, his ADP is running back 17. He's going in the fifth round. And, we've talked about this. This is a guy who has performed at an elite level for a lot of his career fantasy-wise, including last year, where through the first 5 games of the NFL season, he was a top 5 fantasy running back. And then he got hurt and fell out of favor in Arizona and wasn't exactly right. But now, healthy again. Again, something to prove. And we've talked about this a lot, but Lewis Riddick likes to call it sponsorship. I call it just the politics of a football team. Bill O'Brien needs this to work. Bill O'Brien traded to much criticism DeAndre Hopkins, an insanely popular player with a fan base in Houston, and he took on David Johnson's contract. It wasn't even a salary dump. Like, he traded DeAndre Hopkins to get David Johnson, and they let go Carlos Hyde, who was a 1,000-yard rusher for them last year. David Johnson needs to work for the Texans, and so even though he may not be super efficient, I think the volume and I think his passing game usage will make him a value this year in what is once again going to be a very good offense. As long as Deshaun Watson's that quarterback, that's going to be one of the better offenses in the NFL.
I felt the same way since the moment he was traded to Houston. I always felt like I was a little bit ahead of the rankings curve, and I feel that way. I have him as RB13 going into the season. My unsexy player is Jarvis Landry. We discussed him yesterday. He's off the PUP list after hip surgery this offseason, at least 180 fantasy points in each of his first 6 NFL seasons, and off oftentimes much more. Doesn't drop passes, sees a ton of volume. And last year, he had 21 red zone targets. A guy that we always think about him as, or for a long time thought of him as, a slot receiver only. He's proved to be much more than that. I have immense respect for Jarvis Landry. He's dependable. He's reliable. Things that we normally don't associate with being sexy in fantasy football. I'm in on Jarvis Landry. He's going in the 7th round right now. He will return at least 7th round value for you, absent getting hurt, and he has a good track record of staying really healthy.
Jarvis Landry could make this list every year.
Every year. We should
every
rename
year.
It the Jarvis
He's
Landry
perennially
list.
I should rename it the Jarvis Landry list because he's perennially underrated.
Yes,
I like
does.
The call.
Yes,
completely agree.
Let's go to bold predictions.
Yes, sir.
This may be probably one of the more enticing parts of this list is the bold predictions. And you've got a bunch here, Matthew. So I'm just going to tee you up and just let you rip through these and because you got a handful.
So the idea of a bold prediction is that it has to be within the realm of possibility,
okay,
but unlikely.
Okay.
Right? I mean, that's to me, that's how I define a bold prediction. Like, this is unlikely to happen, but it's within the realm of possibility. And for me, the way I use bold predictions is to not necessarily nail the bold predictions, although I have a pretty good track record over the years, but not necessarily to nail the bold prediction, but merely to show these are players that I have a strong opinion on one way or the other. Right?
Yep.
So, for example, one bold prediction I have: Ben Roethlisberger finishes as a top five fantasy quarterback.
Okay.
His current ADP is QB 16. Right. And so my point is like, let's say Ben Roethlisberger finishes as QB 7.
Right.
I quote unquote got the prediction wrong, but for people that are drafting, he's going as QB 16. You reached a little bit for him. You obviously made a profit off of Big Ben. The argument there is obviously he's done it before.
Yeah.
He was the third best quarterback in 2018. It's going to be a pass first offense. We know he's a great talent. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. We like the talent in his receiving corps. He does not have Antonio Brown the way he did in 2018, but he's got a healthy Juju Smith-Schuster. We like Deontay Johnson. James Washington is interesting. You know, Chase Claypool and Eric Ebron, they've added some weapons in the offseason here. James Conner, Jalen Samuels, nice pass-catching running backs here. Yeah, give me some Big Ben. Bold prediction as a top five fantasy quarterback this year.
I have arbitrarily decided on a bold-o-meter. How bold of a call I believe this to be. 1 to 10, it's a 6.
Fair.
A 6 for me. And okay, certainly, and we'll see how the rest of this list unfolds. That's a 6 for me. I could definitely see it happening as well.
Correct.
Number 2 for you.
Gardner Minshew finishes as a top 12 quarterback.
Okay.
Now, I know Gardner Minshew doesn't know who the hell I am, but maybe this will give
me... One day he will. Awesome.
Okay, awesome. We love Gardner Minshew. He doesn't even know who the hell I am. He just needs to go out there and throw,
yeah,
which is what I think he's going to do. Look, that team, the release of Leonard Fournette is just another piece of that.
They're
tanking for Trevor. It's a bad defense. They're going to be throwing a lot, especially when you look at the track record of new offense coordinator Jay Gruden, quarterbacks coach Ben McAdoo. This is a team that wants to throw. Second year in the NFL. Expect Minshew to make a big leap here. More mobile than he gets credit for. Over 27 rushing yards in 8 of the 12 games that he started last year.
Yeah.
As well, he actually led all quarterbacks in scramble attempts last year, which, yeah, I think would surprise people. And again, like, Jay Gruden had Andy Dalton as a top 6 quarterback in 2013. He had Kirk Cousins as a top 11 fantasy quarterback in points per game every season from 2015 to 2017. We've seen quarterbacks have fantasy success under Jay Gruden. Give me Gardner Minshew as a top 12 fantasy quarterback as a bold prediction.
That's a 3 on the bold-o-meter for me. I buy it too. I mean, I just think that there are so many of the signals that you need for a quarterback to find his way into the top 12. He has Blake Bortles potential. He,
yeah,
really does, right? And I think, yeah, he actually is more talented than Blake Bortles. But a lot of the things that worked in Bortles' favor are back in Minshew's favor right now. Next one, Matthew.
I want to appeal that 3 on the bold-o-meter. His current ADP is QB 27. I just said he's a top 12 fantasy
27?
Quarterback.
That's
QB 27, Thirsty Kyle. Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, right? That's what his ADP is.
I'm looking it up now, but that did feel low. If you're going to give Ben 6, like, it feels like it's at least that high, no?
I'm just...
Yeah, no, but I'm quarterback 20. It doesn't feel as bold to me. I'm just saying.
I have a quarterback 22, but
yeah.
Anyways, 20 as well.
It's my
I'm
scale,
quarterback
not
20
yours.
As well. I hate your scale.
Thank you.
There
it
you
hates
go.
You back.
My bold prediction is that the scale makes its last appearance on today's podcast.
That's probably true.
Yeah. Here's another one. I wish Daniel Dopp were here. Marvin Jones outscores Kenny Galladay.
You want my bold-o-meter on this one?
Yeah.
That's 10.
There we go.
There you
That's
go.
That's big time right there. This is the kind of stuff I like. I mean, I don't necessarily agree with it, but I also think that, you know, in your mind, you're not counting on it. But tell me, make the case for me, for Marv over
Kenny G. Yeah, again,
this
is a super bold prediction, but the last 6 games that Matthew Stafford played, weeks 3 through 9, Kenny Galladay averaged 16.5 fantasy points per game. Marvin Jones, 18.8. Marvin Jones had more targets per game, more red zone targets, had a higher catch rate.
Yeah.
You know, Kenny Galladay had a lot of really big plays last year. Like, you know, he had like 70-yard touchdowns. And so, listen, make no mistake, he's a big play threat. Matthew Stafford has a big arm.
Yeah.
So they're still going to take those shots. But if a couple of those don't land, and Marvin Jones is somebody they look for a lot in the red zone. So, yeah, my bold prediction is Marvin Jones outscores Kenny Galladay.
Very spicy right
By the way, I like both of them, though. By the way, Kenny Golladay could have a very good year and Marvin Jones could still outscore him. Anyway, it's a super bold prediction, obviously.
Yeah, I like that.
But it just
next
goes
one
to
here.
Show I feel strongly about Marvin Jones this year, who also, by the way, made the unsexy player list.
All righty. How about next for your bold predictions?
Marquise Hollywood Brown finishes as a top 10 fantasy wide receiver. And I know you like that because you and I were in a draft yesterday, and we did a league yesterday, and you drafted Marquise Brown.
Yeah.
You sniped him from me.
This is like a 7.5. Okay. And the reason why it's not higher is because I really like the player, right? Yeah. Like, I really like Marquise Brown this year. I think he's going to have a great second season for the Ravens. The reason why it's not lower is there are some really great wide receivers this year, right? We have like this tier of just unstoppable forces, Michael Thomas and Julio and all those guys. That him jumping into the top 10 would probably mean some very disappointing seasons from players that we expect to be outstanding this year as well. But I like the call.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're watching as we're doing it live, the graphic shows that he was ranked 10th in fantasy points per target, ahead of Tyreek Hill, ahead of Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
So can he increase his targets? Remember, this is a quarterback in Lamar Jackson who led the NFL in passing touchdowns last year. Marquise Brown is the number one wide receiver for that quarterback and that offense. And so can he improve his route tree? Second year in the league for him, another year with Lamar Jackson in that system. So yeah, bold prediction. Top 10 finish at the wide receiver position for Hollywood Brown.
All right, one more from you, Matthew. What do you got? And how spicy is it? We'll find out.
We'll find out. Mike Gesicki finishes as a top 5 fantasy tight end.
I'll give it a 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Rationale, and then I can counter if need be.
Yeah, look, I think the idea here is just like they have a very narrow target tree, right? I mean, they've got Preston Williams coming off the ACL. They've got Devontae Parker, who's been banged up a little bit this preseason. And then Mike Gesicki. Like, we think this is an offense that's going to have to throw, whether it's Ryan Fitzpatrick, whether it's Tua under center, whoever it is, they're going to have to throw. You know, their defense certainly improved from last year. I think the whole team will improve, but you know, Gesicki over the second half of last year was a very, very good fantasy tight end. I believe he was a top 10 fantasy tight end over the second half of last year. And so, you know, with Albert Wilson and Allen Hurns opting out, could this be one of the league leaders among tight ends in targets? And they also looked for him a lot in the red zone. Yeah, that was Fitzy. So, you know, we'll see how long Fitzy remains the starter. But yeah, bold prediction, Mike Gesicki, top 5 fantasy tight end. He's one of my favorite second tier wide tight ends this year.
Yeah, I like it a lot myself. I can't go much higher or lower than a 7 on that one. My bold call, Matthew, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, not actually on today's show, but earlier this preseason, Odell Beckham Jr. will be a top 8 fantasy receiver this year. I've got him highest amongst the rankers at ESPN at wide receiver 9. I suppose I could just finish the job and move him up to wide receiver 8. Started his career with 90 catches at least 1,300 receiving yards, and 10 receiving touchdowns in each of those first 3 years of his career. There was a time where he was largely accepted as the most talented wide receiver on the earth. Matthew, this guy is special in terms of talent. I have said this 50 times. I might as well make it 51. Everything that could possibly have gone wrong last year went wrong. It was not a professional outfit they were playing with.
Correct.
In Cleveland. Everything is back. You described it yesterday as the post-hype sleeper, right? That's where I view Odell is. And I get it. People are disappointed because a couple of years ago, he got 3 years ago, he got hurt. The following year, he was not as productive. Last year, not as productive. Remember, you're talking about a player who's not as productive years. Still includes over 1,000 receiving yards and 10 total receiving touchdowns. So I get it. I'm making a big investment in him. I'm expecting, you know, more like 12 to 1,300 receiving yards. I also think it's very likely to happen.
So, yeah, I was going to say, so on the bold, on the spice-o-meter,
yeah.
I think this is like a 1 in terms of a bold call. Like, look, here's the thing. That's ridiculous. Everything you're saying.
Yeah.
Beckham also got insanely unlucky with touchdowns. I mean, he was one of the league leaders in end zone targets and just couldn't come down with these. He was constantly double and triple teamed, and, you know, Baker just couldn't get him the ball. But again, his ADP is wide receiver 13. You're saying he's a top 8 receiver. Like, that to me, that's not that bold. And to your point, he's a guy that has been a top 8 fantasy receiver for many, many years. To me, the bold call would have been he finishes his year as the number one wide receiver in fantasy.
How
which,
spicy
by the
would
way,
that, have been?
that would have been much more spicy.
Okay.
Because you're saying he's going to be better than Michael Thomas. He's going to be better than Devontae Adams. He's going to be better than, you know, Tyreek Hill and some of these guys. But, by the way, within the realm of possibility.
Yeah, let me just tell you,
Odell Beckham Jr. finishes as the number one wide receiver in fantasy. No one's going to be like, where did that come from?
Well, Matt, there are a lot of people right now, not saying the fantasy football industry that cover it, but people that are just play fantasy football, sure, very down on Odell Beckham Jr. They feel like they've been stung for the past three seasons. All right, Matthew, great job. Read the article right now. Tell us about Ballpark Buns.
Well, if you're like me, you're missing the fun and excitement of the ballpark right now. Just hasn't felt like summer. But just because you can't be in the stadium doesn't mean you can't bring that classic ballpark feeling home. And the best way to do that is with Ballpark Buns and Rolls. America's favorite ballpark and the ballpark go together like baseball and summer. They're an American pastime. And America's favorite buns and rolls, they've been an essential part of celebrations, big and small, for as long as anyone can remember. Ballpark buns and rolls are a great way to get a carefree taste of summer any time of year. Whether shared at a backyard barbecue, fall tailgate, or any manner of celebration year-round, you can't help but enjoy yourself when enjoying a ballpark bun creation. So next time you're picking up essentials for grilling, tailgating, a little slow cooker action, or even a nostalgic night in, make sure you grab ballpark buns and rolls. Find them wherever you shop for groceries.
Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? A tattooed and bearded producer to show up to work on time with Belgian waffles and fresh fruit compote? As nice as that sounds, it's probably never going to happen.
Never.
Never. But at least there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. And with that, we will get to a social question here. Okay. Coming from EJ, he wants to know how much value is added to the QB position when touchdown passes are worth 6 points. We also have a 5-point bonus for 300-yard games.
You want to take this one, Matthew?
Yeah, not much. I mean, what it does is, to me, it lowers the value of somebody like Lamar Jackson. It lowers the value of the rushing quarterbacks because it rises up those that pass for a lot. But, you know, it doesn't move guys up for me that much, right, honestly, because, again, the quarterback position is so deep, and there's actually going to be more players that are relevant because, again, because it hurts it mitigates some of the advantage you get with a rushing quarterback. Right. It just means more quarterbacks are now.
It just narrows the gap between Lamar Jackson and a Tom Brady. But still, remember that Lamar Jackson, if he throws a touchdown pass, it counts the same number of points as Tom Brady.
Correct.
I want to make you laugh just quickly before we do our Geico trivia question. Ronald Jones. You know what he is, according to Bruce Arians?
What's that?
Still our guy. This morning, Bruce Arians says he's still our guy. We'll talk about that more tomorrow if we deem it necessary. But Bruce Arians committed to Ronald Jones, supposedly. All right, Kyle, time for the Geico trivia question.
Good news for Fournette, is it not?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, right? That's a good point.
That's a vote of confidence for Fournette.
Yes.
Geico trivia for today. The season starts a week from today. Last season, there were three instances in which a player scored 30 fantasy points on a Thursday. Lamar Jackson's the easy one. Can you give me one of the other two? Come on, Field. Recall. This is your thing.
Absolutely not. I am completely guessing right now. Oh. I have no freaking clue. Oh, man.
On a Thursday night.
Idea. Okay, Stefania's going to have an idea. I'm sure she's probably going to be
probably
right.
Got it, yeah.
I don't know, but I just remember this game because it was against my 49ers, and I think it was Kenyon Drake when he made his debut.
Ooh, you know what, Stefania? You are absolutely right. That's going to be one of them, and that's probably going to be correct. Matthew, who's your guess?
I wrote two. I wrote Derrick Henry and Kenyon Drake.
Good job by you. You probably got Kenyon Drake as well. I'm going with Matthew's little Cooper Kupp. Now, I'm pretty sure they played 2 years ago against the Vikings when he had this monster game, so I'm probably wrong. I haven't gotten a trivia question right since, like, July. What's the answer, Kyle?
You started hot. We've got two lower name guys. Nobody got this.
What?
Gordon Howard in week 4 had a huge game.
Yes! Ah, oh, that
and
Green
Mitchell
Bay
Trubisky.
Game.
Yeah, he killed my Packers. That was why I looked into it.
Oh, my God.
Trubisky.
Kyle, you are an absolute savage.
I
you
knew
know that.
That one
I knew
was fun. Derrick Henry had a monster game like two years ago, that Thursday game against Jacksonville.
Yeah. Man, yeah, that was a 99-yard touchdown game a couple of years ago.
Kyle, how many points did Kenyon Drake get that night?
Kenyon Drake, 28.2.
28.2.
Wow, on 4 touchdowns.
I mean, come on. I was close. That's
such a good guess, Stefania.
Yeah, how do you have less than 30 points with 4 touchdowns? That's wild.
I know.
Man, all right, Stefania, you're still out in front on the Geico trivia. I'm still way behind. I hope this is like karma and I do great in red zone this year. I probably won't, but I'm just managing expectations accordingly.
Hey, If you have a draft this weekend, rotopass.com,
that's
baby.
Right,
there you
right.
go.
Yep.
Rotopass.com, promo code 06010 gets 10% off. I mean, again, like if you need to cram or anything like that, you need draft software, whatever weird league you play on, play in, they have customized ranks. They have the ability to ask an expert and rate your team and so much more that you need. And then plus 10 things you haven't even thought about. You also get a nice subscription, nice long subscription to ESPN Plus.
Excellent.
Where you can watch the fantasy show with Matthew Berry and Daniel Dopp. You get all Mike Clay stuff, you know, Al Zeidenfeld stuff. Like
it really pays for itself.
It really,
like 12 times over.
Yeah, a year. Yes, it really does. Just anyway, check it out at rotopass.com and use the promo code 06010. There's a reason why we have so many returning customers, why so many people say thank you. I got a title this year, and it's thanks to rotopass.com.
On tomorrow's show, we are conducting our draft for the league that this staff of the show will play in throughout the season. Should be a lot of fun in the meantime. For Kyle Doppy, for Star Fanya Bell, for Matthew Berry, I am Field. We will talk to you guys on Friday. Draft day.
Peace out.
Never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me, because I don't think you could.
Jail bait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Berry convert you.
Secret squirrel, Daniel Dopp.
Make it happen.
Mediocre fantasy advice.
You're older than people realize.
That never stops.
Loyal 06010 listeners.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.